Say what you want about director Danny Boyle, but here is one film director who really takes you there. If there are some unforgettable movie images etched on your skull, chances are at least some of them come from Boyle flicks, like Trainspotting. Do I even need to say toilet scene? Shallow Grave, nothing need be said there. How about Sunshine, when the sun dies? And I'm not talking about some sentimental sunset. How about Slumdog Millionaire? A whole book full of images there. The kid in the privy, the comedy and brutality of Slumdog all crowding the screen. Boyle brilliance added to an already good story. Good story? Try his latest flick.
This marks 24 hours of being stuck.
I've been chipping away. Want to keep warm anything?
I have about 150 milliliters of water left, which should keep me alive till tomorrow night, if I'm lucky. So that's it.
Film is called 127 Hours. It stars James Franco as daredevil Aaron Ralston, telling the real-life story of a climber trapped in the rocks that fascinated him and the brutal means he used to free himself. Danny Boyle is here to talk about 127 Hours. Good morning.
Hello, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to talk to you. Now, in this film, you've got one actor, one circumstance, and the ending is well known. He removes his own limb to save himself. How do you build suspense in a situation like that?
It's funny, isn't it? A lot of it's to do with needing a great actor. Like, we've got James Franco for this, and everything's dependent on him, really, and his skill. But I think also there's a weird thing goes on where we have a kind of, you know, like spoiler alerts and things like that. We have a kind of amnesia. If the actor's good, when we get in a cinema, we forget where it's going to go, if we know where it's going to go. So you kind of lose yourself, and you can get tense and worried about stuff and wonder, how's he ever going to get out? Will he get out? Even though you know the ending. So I think there's a kind of voluntary amnesia sets in amongst the audience, thank God. It's something about we buy into the process, and we developed that for this because we wanted you to feel trapped with him.
Well, your instincts of the audience's willingness to suspend its disbelief and absolutely go with you is one reason why I always, in your films, am thinking in the characters, what must it be like to be that guy or that woman or that person? And this film is that from beginning to end.
I think that's one of the reasons. There's a number of stories like this, but this one is stuck in people's brains. It's snagged there. I think a bit like the Chilean miners. There's lots of miners trapped around, every year. But for some reason, there's certain ones of those stories stick in your brain. And I think it's because there's something pure about them that makes you think very clearly, what if that was me? What would I be like? Would I cope with it? Would I be able to do what he did? And you kind of, it's a wonderful feeling that James builds on of empathy, you know, where you can put yourself in his position and you almost become trapped in there with him and start to help him get out of there eventually. So you're kind of implicated in what he eventually does.
Indeed. And, you know, Franco is, of course, driving the movie, but there's also Danny Boyle around there with the flashbacks. And how do you open the door and give the audience permission to go to a place that's, you know, outlandish or, magical realist in a certain way, almost a hallucination?
I think we go to the cinema more and more to see something special and extreme. I don't think, I shouldn't say this, the DVD people will kill me, but like this film won't work as well on television as it does in the cinema screen when you're trapped in there with him. You know, that inclusive, immersive kind of involvement. It won't work as well on TV. And I think I try to make you, if you're going to pay $12 or whatever you pay to get in that cinema, I always set out to try and give you something. I will take real risks because I think you're willing to take risks as well. Your reason for being there is to take risks. And that can be in any tone. It can be like comedy, horror, romance, but you want it pushed as close to the edge as possible. We have this expression, you push the pram, the baby carrier, right to the edge of the cliff. Push it as close to the edge of the cliff as you dare, because people want that breathless quality in cinema where they see extreme, you see the envelope pushed as far as you can, you know?
Yeah, but I think you also tie a rope to the pram and push it off the cliff a little bit. I think you
hang it over the edge.
Yeah. I think that's what we're talking about here. Well, you raised this issue. I imagine everybody's running around trying to get those Chilean miners, but you got to do that story.
Yeah. No, it's interesting, isn't it? I think you've got to wait a bit, actually. There will be work, obviously, to do with them. But the story, to fully assess the story, you have to somehow let the glare die down a bit, first of all. for people to truly reflect on what happened down there to them. I think also that the stories, as time adds to them, they kind of change focus a little bit.
Right.
So this story, the Aaron Ralston thing, 127 hours, I think when he first came out of there, he was looked on as being a bit of an individualist, a superhero who could somehow cut his arm off to get out there. But the film shows, in fact, that he is that when he goes in there. He's an incredible solo athlete who climbs mountains and runs ultramarathons and doesn't appear to need anybody. But the film tries to show that the way he gets out, although it involves an act of amazing courage, it's actually inspired by his need to get back to people and by their need to kind of get him back amongst them. There's this kind of almost invisible umbilical cord between him and the people he's left behind, which pulls him back in some way. And it's why it's inspiring, I think, not because it's individually amazing, but it's also because we're all involved in it and we're all capable of it in some way, should it, God forbid, happen to us, you know?
Well, it's about this curious relationship between the mind and the body, you know, ultimately is what the story is here. And he makes the separation. I mean, I have to ask you, as you watched Franco and as you investigated this story, would you have done what Aaron Ralston did?
I think we all would. Not just me. I think all of us would. We may not do it as successfully as he did. We may die on the way out. After we'd done it, we would all do it. That pulse that keeps us living is stronger than anything, that pulse that keeps us alive and that we'll hang on to. And animals do it all the time, you know, when they're caught in traps.
It's the universality of the story that makes it work, not the fact that Aaron Ralston is unusual.
Yes, I believe so, for sure.
Oh, that's perfect. Danny Boyle, good luck. Oscar-winning director of 127 Hours, which is in limited release opening today. Danny Boyle, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, John.
All right, so you heard his voice. What do you think Danny Boyle wanted to be until he was 14 years old? Come on, here's a hint. He shares this with film director Martin Scorsese, John Woo, M. Night Shyamalan. Huh? Come on.
Rock climbers.
No. Oh, that's good. Until he was 14, he was meant to be a priest. It was his mother's dream. But some priest told him it actually wasn't his calling.
Yeah. It probably wasn't.
It probably wasn't, exactly. It's certainly not. I would have guessed psychologist, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to say special thanks this morning to Max Bernstein for all his amazing web work every day on this show. Way to go, marvelous Max. I'm Celeste Headlee.
Marvelous Max. Thanks to you, buddy. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.